Well, again, thank you for joining me on Bobberty Live, and I am in Moldova speaking to a wonderful group of teenagers in that communist country. Filling in for me today is Chris Long with Ohio Christian Alliance. Chris, thanks so much for guest hosting. Here's Chris.
And it is my pleasure to fill in for Bob this afternoon. And with us on the phone is Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio's 4th District, just back from the recess in Congress.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the 110th Congress. Congressman Jordan, welcome to Bob Bernie Live.
Great to be with you, Chris. Appreciate having me on.
Well, thank you for taking time. And first of all, Congressman, I want to let you know just how much we appreciate your service in Congress as a strong pro-life, pro-family advocate, and, of course, having a family of your own. And being in Washington isn't always fun, and I remind people that all the time, that gentlemen like Congressman Jordan, who have families back home and are missing some of the activities and serving our country, indeed it is a public service, and we want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and I want to thank all the good work you're doing and frankly, all your listeners and Christian families across the country who pray for their leadership and pray for members of Congress. We really appreciate it. When you have people come up and tell you sometimes when you're out and about that, you know, our family's praying for you, that is just so encouraging to hear. So I thank you for all the good work you guys are doing.
Absolutely, and we will keep it going. Congressman, I wanted to ask you about what is being termed as the lights-out session that's going on right now in Congress. Tell us a little bit about that.
It started Friday, and I was actually on a plane. Right when it started, I was getting ready to head to the airport and flew home, but I went back down yesterday to participate. And it's an amazing thing to see just members of Congress coming to the floor and families from across the country who are visiting our nation's capital, the greatest capital in the world and the greatest country in the world, coming in and just listening to members talk about why we need to drill more, why we need to get more supply of energy, not just oil, but everything, but certainly in the short term and intermediate time frame, we need to get more oil. And it's just an amazing thing to see. And basically, the message is real simple. Let's have a vote. Speaker, let's have a vote. I always tell folks, you play the game on Friday night. Even if there's one team that's a strong favorite, you still play the game. You find out who's going to win, who's going to lose. You play the game, you have the vote, and you have the contest. And so we need to do the same thing here, but she won't schedule a vote. That's unfortunate for American families and for the American economy.
Well, that's right. And I did talk to Congressman Teaberry's office. I understand that there was a letter that was submitted to the speaker urging her to hold an emergency session of Congress to do just that, to have an up or down vote on the drilling.
Yep, call us back into session. We got a comprehensive package that focuses on drilling offshore, drilling in Anwar, drilling in, and also it looks at nuclear power, looks at alternative sources of energy, looks at enhancing and permit process so we can enhance our refining capacity. It's an all-the-above strategy, what we've called an all-the-above strategy that makes sense, that is good for our economy, good for Americans, good for American families.
Well, you mentioned nuclear. This country hasn't constructed a nuclear facility in some time, and the technology is so much more advanced than it was back in the day. And, you know, the nation of France is really utilized nuclear power. It's just a shame that we haven't pursued that in this country.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Chris. I tell folks, you know, I kind of jokingly say there's hope for the Congress, though, because even the French have figured it out. And, you know, if the French can get it right, you'd think that maybe the Congress can and we can start doing more nuclear power here in this country. But you're exactly right. It's safe. It is something we need to do to meet our energy needs. You can't have a strong economy if you don't have adequate energy supply. And we need to understand that because the way the world operates, I think this is an important point. The economic leader is also the military leader. Right now, that is one country, the United States of America. And the world is a safer and better place because of that fact. And even people overseas, I think, appreciate the fact that America leads economically and that America leads militarily. If in the future we can't lead in those categories, the world becomes a more dangerous place. And we need to recognize that.
Well, that's right. And I was just visiting in California with family, and my brother was recounting to me a few years ago when Governor Gray Davis had made that very bad agreement with the Enron people in Texas of their energy agreement,
yep.
And they had rolling brownouts there where, I mean, how can an economic machine like the economy of California continue when you don't know if your power is going to be on that day or if you're going to have to cut back? And
well said.
How can you continue to be an economic superpower and yet not have reliable energy and resource and power? It's something that I think for generations we've taken for granted. There was the previous generation that ensured that America, for its super engine of economy during World War II, when we were able to produce all those goods and services and really provide the Allies with the instruments of defeating the Axis powers, was building a Boulder Dam and all the projects that were implemented to make sure that America was going to have enough energy. And now it really is a crisis. And I think that your Republican colleagues that are there in Washington, yourself, as you went back when you'd rather be home on vacation and meeting with your constituency, I think it really sends a strong message. And I'm hoping that President Bush will also urge Congress to come back and to deal with it, because it is a pressing problem upon our public right now.
Right. Well said. Now, well said. The I always say this. The American people get it. With most issues, the people always get it before the politicians do. And this is just another another good example of that. They understand we need more supply. They understand America needs to lead economically. They understand America needs to lead militarily. I always kind of jokingly say, the only folks that don't get that are the editorial page of the New York Times. Regular Americans have figured that out a long time. In fact, Cal Thomas has a great line when he talks about the way normal families think and kind of families with basic American values think versus kind of the elite national press. And his line is, I get up every morning, I read my Bible and the New York Times so I can see what each side's up to.
Well, that's right. And
there's certainly some truth to that.
And, you know, the economy side of this is where it's really hitting families in the pocketbook at the pump. And then in commodities, as those prices increase because of inflation, of transportation costs are really weighing down on families. And here in Ohio, when our economy is sagging and unemployment is rising, yesterday coming back from California, and my wife and I were trying to save a few dollars ourselves for our sons in football. So we thought, well, maybe we can get some secondhand football spikes or football practice pants. So we went to the local thrift store, and it was packed.
Yeah. Right.
These are everyday people. This is in Akron. They have two thrift stores, and they were as packed as any big retail store. Yeah. I think how that's translation is people are hurting out there, and the bottom line is dollar for dollar at the gas pump, we need relief.
Yep. No, well said. Here's the other good news. The Congress is going to hear from the people. I mean, even though we should be back there doing a special session, voting on this legislation to get more supply to help with the price, help our economy, the fact that members are home, they're going to hear from the people. And there's an old line in politics that I think has a lot of truth to it. Most politicians don't see the light. They feel the heat. And they're going to be back home, and they're going to be hearing from their constituents. And I believe we got a chance when we get back to do the right thing in September. And actually, if we can't get the calls back for a special session, I think we got a chance when we come back in September to do the right thing and get this thing passed.
Well, it seems as this is indeed being politicized. Speaker Pelosi and many of her colleagues on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, are beholden to the environmentalists and the radical left who want no drilling whatsoever. They're not fazed at all by high gas prices. They actually want to see that because they would think, well, that will take more cars off the road, force more people into public transportation, and that's their vision of the future.
Yeah. I mean, I used to think that it was on that side we're all we're just, kind of environmentalists who went kind of extreme. But I actually think some of them are just real radical leftists, and they don't appreciate the market price system.
Congressman, you're breaking up with us there. Congressman Jordan, are you still there?
Right.
We're having so. Let's see. He might.
Hello?
Yeah, Congressman, we're going to try to get back with you. We're listening to Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio's 4th District. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host, Chris Long of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We'll be right back after these messages to talk about the 110th Congress and the lack of pro-life, pro-family legislation the last 2 years. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Congressman Jordan when we get him back on the phone.
Are you an LTD? Prove it. Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE.
The Word 880 WRFD. Search the Bible in over 23 translations online at WRFD.com.
We're back with Congressman Jim Jordan, who is back in the district from a recess from Congress in Washington, who did participate in the lights out session, the Republican protest on the U.S. House of Representatives floor, urging Speaker Pelosi and the leadership to come back in an emergency session to deal with America's energy crisis. And as many of you and I face the high prices at the pump, this is a relative issue to families in Ohio. Congressman, welcome back to Bob Burney Live.
Sorry, we had some technical problems there, but yeah, good to be with you, Chris. Thanks.
Well, Congressman, let's turn the corner a little bit. Of course, we'll be keeping our membership apprised of developments this week. The C-SPAN cameras are off. The microphones are off. How are you getting the message out? What's taking place there on the U.S. House of Representatives floor?
In a high-tech world now, you can, you know, with there are bloggers who are interviewing members when they come off. The normal print and television and radio media are also interviewing members when they walk off the floor. And then there's just regular families, as I said, who are visiting our nation's capital, coming out and you're on vacation looking at the capital, who are in there listening. They'll come off, and some of them are going to get interviewed. So it's kind of the old-fashioned way, giving a speech to the American people and letting them go talk about it.
Well, and I heard that there were those in the gallery that were shouting, USA, USA.
Yeah, that was on Friday. I guess it was pretty raucous. And although it was fun yesterday, too, because people were cheering at the end of speeches, and it's sort of Americana and I guess America at its best, where you have political figures giving a speech and people are there critiquing it, listening, and voicing their approval or their concern. So it's great to see it happening.
I'm glad to hear that. Let's turn the corner just for a few minutes that we have left with you and talk about the lack of pro-life, pro-family legislation that was heard on the floor in the 110th Congress. Not that there wasn't enough bills that were introduced by members, but there just wasn't heard by Democratic leadership. What happened there?
Well, no, and you're right. We've had some great bills. Mike Pence wants to, you know, keep the Planned Parenthood from getting any of your tax dollars. I introduced a bill to require an ultrasound before that procedure could take place on an unborn child, so we've done a lot of good bills that have been introduced, but you know, look, this leadership is Mrs. Pelosi just thinks different than we do. She doesn't value human life the way we do, and doesn't believe it's sacred like we do, and so she's not going to bring up what we would all consider good pieces of legislation. But we'll keep fighting. Frankly, this past year, she hasn't brought up much of anything. We haven't even done the normal appropriations process. We're supposed to do 12 spending bills, and we haven't even got those accomplished because she's afraid when we bring those up, we're going to offer amendments to them. Some of them will be pro-life amendments, prohibiting tax dollars from being spent on things that we find offensive and most Americans find offensive. Some of them will be the energy amendments, and that's what she's really afraid of. So, it hasn't been a very productive year in Congress. Now the good news is we kept the government from spending too much more of your money and we kept them from raising too much of your taxes. So there's some things we've been able to block when Congress isn't doing much. But you're right, we haven't accomplished some of the pro-family things we'd like.
You know, President Bush fared quite well when you consider that they called him the lame duck president with Democrats controlling both the House and Senate. He was able to get the military spending bill through without the awful amendments that were there. What's your grade for President Bush in regards to what he's accomplished in this Congress?
Well, I'll say this about President Bush. I think there are four key things that the party I belong to needs to focus on. And frankly, I would argue that they're what's best for American families and for our country. We need a strong national defense. President Bush has been great on that. We need to keep keep taxes low. We need to reduce the tax burden on families and business owners in this country so our economy can continue to be the strongest that it can be. Third, we need to keep spending under control. And then fourth, we got to stand up for those traditional American values that make us a special country in the first place. Defending life, protecting human life, protecting marriage, protecting family, protecting the free market system, protecting the work ethic, those kind of things. President Bush has been good on 3 out of 4. He's been great on 3 out of 4, but he's been terrible on the spending. And frankly, that's one of the reasons our party got beat in 2006, is we spent like Democrats. We spent too much money. And I'll tell you, my first term in Congress, that's what I spent a lot of my time on. I offered more amendments last year when we did the appropriation process in 2007, more amendments to cut spending than any other member of Congress, because I believe that's a moral issue, too. If we keep spending like government is spending now, we run the risk. This is not my language. This is Comptroller General, former Comptroller General David Walker. We run the risk of turning over to the next generation a worse financial picture than what we inherited. And that's wrong. That's immoral. America, one of the reasons America is great is parents make sacrifices so that their kids and their grandkids can have life a little better than they did. And then that generation in turn does it for the next. And that generation in turn does it for the next. And it's been that cycle that has made us the greatest country, the greatest economy in history. And so the spending has to get under control. So the president's been great on 3 of the 4, but he's been bad on the spending.
Well, and that's right. Government needs to rein in its belt and do a lot of cutting, and it's going to take courage to do that.
Let me say this, Chris. President Bush is a good man. I believe he's a Christian man, and that's not a. And history, I think, is going to look back on his defense of freedom and his stance against terror and terrorism, and going to say great things. But on the spending, he's not been good.
There's a bill that's concerning a lot of Americans. It's called the Fairness Doctrine.
Oh yeah.
Tell us about the Fairness Doctrine.
Well, it's misnamed to begin with. I mean, whenever you think of fairness, that seems like a good quality, a good value we should embrace. But this Fairness Doctrine, what it in effect does is make it really difficult for shows like yours to be on the radio, for Christian and conservative programming to be on the radio, because station owner has to say, well, the Fairness Doctrine basically says for every liberal point of view, you got to put on a conservative point of view. Every conservative point, you got to put on a liberal point of view. You got to have a, quote, balance. And there's some great mind in this, who decides, okay, what's fair. You don't want that. You want the First Amendment to mean something. You want freedom of speech. You want people who have broadcasting facilities to be able to broadcast what they want to broadcast and talk about what they want to talk about. So it's a terrible thing. It's going to hurt the conservative movement, going to hurt the pro-family movement. And I think it's a terrible idea. Mike Pence is working strongly on trying to stop this from coming back into effect. And once again, the speaker's on the wrong side. Speaker Pelosi supports reenactment of the, quote, Fairness Doctrine.
You know, I remember back in the day when the conservative movement was emerging in the 70s and into the 80s, and I try to tell my kids who are now in their 20s, teens and 20s, there was a day when you didn't have a Rush Limbaugh or some of the Sean Hannity or the kind of programming that we have now to hear a conservative point of view. It was a monolith through the major networks, and they were liberal.
Right. Well said.
And so conservatives, they were relegated to some print press, and that was about it. So
yep.
It would really change the way that in which we receive our news and information. I don't think there's any guesses that there are members in Congress that want to shut down the conservative talk and conservative voice out there.
Oh, yeah. There's been members, liberal members of Congress who have said just that. And so we got to take this threat, this issue seriously, and stand up and defend the First Amendment, the freedom of speech right that we have.
And the argument is that the free marketplace will dictate. If people aren't listening to talk radio, or if they're not listening to broadcast, that they'll turn the dial, and it won't be able to be. As far as lucrative, but the fact is the free marketplace is working, and those stations are doing quite well.
Exactly right, Chris. We believe in the free market. The free market has served this nation well. We shouldn't second guess that. One thing you know about Americans is Americans hate being told what to do. It's why we started this place. People in Europe were saying, oh, you had to practice your faith a certain way. You have to do this a certain way. Oh, you have to. We said, no, we don't. We're going to go to America where we can practice. We can worship the way we think we need to worship. We can raise our family the way we want to raise our family. It's one of the reasons that you've seen homeschooling take off so much in this country is parents hate to be told, oh, your kid has to go to school here. If parents, Americans love choices. And the idea they're going to say, oh, you can't have a choice what kind of radio you're going to listen to, what kind of school you're going to have for your kid, what kind of job you're going to pursue, what kind of that's against what America is all about. So you're exactly right. The free market, free enterprise system, and this choice, the ability to have choices is central to America.
Well, Congressman Jordan, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today on Bob Burney Live. And it's been our pleasure to have Congressman Jim Jordan of the 4th District. Enjoy the rest of your time off of Congress, but also we'll be calling Washington and urging the leadership to come back to vote on drilling in America so we can ease these gas prices. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Bob wants to come to your church. Find out how to host a CrossPower weekend at crosspower.net. The Word, 880 WRFD, streaming live 24 hours a day at WRFD.com.